This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I don't know why Rick thinks he can regulate who gets stuff and who doesn't. Probably because he's crappy Islander boy. Love Dave. Best on the show. Not even close. So that's nice. That's Steve Bose. Like, that feels like it crosses a line.
Actually, I like yell at the kids when they say if they hate something. Like, no,
you hate's
wrong.
A very strong.
Very strong word.
What would you say you hate?
Joel Beach.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Bamboo is dangerous.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. We have CMT coming up in about 45 minutes. Joe Douglas is going to join us. Good get from RJ at 9:30 this morning. I have a lot of questions for Joe Douglas.
I can't wait to hear him. I think I was wrong. I think it's the eucalyptus. I think it's the eucalyptus tree that's highly flammable.
Oh, really?
I think that's right.
I don't know.
I'm in California. I think it's the eucalyptus.
They make a lot of clothing out of bamboo.
They do.
So if clothing...
Yeah, I don't think it's the... I think it's the eucalyptus.
Mm-hmm.
I think I screwed that up.
You could go to Google.
I'll check it right now.
Do they make clothing product out of eucalyptus?
No, I don't believe so. But I think I was told when I was in California that the eucalyptus highly flammable.
Really?
Yeah.
So if it was a dry something hits the eucalyptus, now maybe everything goes up in fire.
Goes up.
Flames.
Yep.
That'd be unfortunate. This is interesting. This is Adam Schefter from McAfee yesterday saying Giants didn't really want a quarterback in this draft.
I believe that the Giants wanted Joel to slide to them. That's my belief, that was the hope that he was going to get to them. And I think some of this quarterback talk for the Giants might have been a little camouflage to try to get somebody like Minnesota to trade up. Because if they had traded up to the Chargers spot at 5 and gotten J.J. McCarthy, Joel would have slid right to the Giants slot at number 6. Mm. And that would have been ideal for a team that last year allowed its quarterbacks to be sacked 85 times.
I don't know that I love this. I don't know that I agree with that sound.
Well, agree or think that Schefter is being given the
some
truthful information.
Some misinformation. Do I think they might have liked Joe Alt? Yeah, I heard for months that they love Malik Nabers.
They love Nabers.
Love Malik Nabers. There's no way that the Giants were, because we know they were looking to move up to 3. Schefter reported it on draft night. Jordan Renan reported it. They wanted to move up to 3. There's no way they wanted to move up to 3 for Joe Alt.
And give up what was being reported.
You'd be moronic to do that.
That's what you give up to get a quarterback.
You move up to 3 and you give up multiple ones, that's
fine. Well, you just signed Andrew Thomas and you drafted Evan Neal with the 7th overall pick. You're going to trade more assets?
And you
assets?
Signed multiple guys along the offensive line
this
free agency period.
You're going to trade more assets to get up to number 3 to what? Make Joe Alt your right tackle?
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense because I don't believe it.
I don't believe. Well,
this was the
we
didn't get a quarterback. We tried to get.
They
Drake
tried
K.
to get the quarterback. They didn't get the quarterback, and maybe this is them trying to get the egg off their face.
Egg. This is kind of, hey, Dan, you're a guy.
You're our guy. Well, I mean, he is the guy. Well, for better or for worse, like if it came by organically or not. But what's the difference?
No, there's a big difference. When you find out someone was trying to replace you, it's different.
You think he doesn't know? You think he's a stupid guy?
No, he's not. But if. Well, take this for example. If you found out that behind your back, John Winthrop was trying to do whatever it took to get someone else to host the show
right.
and couldn't get him, you got wind of it and they was like, no, that was never going to happen. We were trying to get someone else. We were trying to get an evening host.
Yeah, but you know what? That's even more embarrassing. Just own up to it. You know what, Daniel? We were looking in different directions. At the end of the day, we didn't feel like anybody was a better option than you, and you're our quarterback for next year. What's wrong with that?
It doesn't change the fact of how it would make you feel. We just signed you to a 4-year deal.
Okay.
Right? You're our guy.
You still got a lot to prove
you
Daniel
us,
Jones.
I understand that. You want us to roll a playoff game. You structured my deal where it makes perfect sense for them to get out of it now, draft the quarterback, and then I'm looking for a new job. Doesn't work out. They can't get up to get Drake May. Pass. Malik Nabers. Now we get the whole, well, now he has a weapon. There's no more excuses. It still wouldn't change how I felt if I was Daniel Jones. And you're right. He's not dumb. So it probably doesn't change the way he feels now anyway, but still, like, I would be, team doesn't want me. This new regime that didn't draft me doesn't think I'm their franchise quarterback as we move forward.
But they also, you know, you're right, and there's a lot of negative feel, I'm sure, that he has with that. But on the flip side, they also could have had J.J. McCarthy. They didn't take him. They could have had Michael Penix. They didn't take him. Like, it's not like they were, you know, hell-bent on getting rid of me. They thought that maybe one guy was better. You got to go out and you got to prove it. Yeah, this is a big boy game now.
I get it. I understand that. But there still are feelings involved in all of this. Like, when I found out, when I got word that I was, like, they were actually looking to trade me, like, it bothered me. Now, I mean, there's only one thing you can do. Go prove to them why you should be their starting quarterback. But there's been so much smoke around this thing. I mean, all the reports that have come out, the Rich Eisen report, like, there's been so many reports that they're done with Daniel Jones. And on top of that, the way that they've structured his deal is it would make perfect sense to be done with Daniel Jones.
Well, if he has a bad season, he'll be gone. If he's not good, he'll be gone.
But it doesn't make it not hurt still.
Okay. Like, I guess you're right.
I had what I thought was a good season. We won enough games where we made the playoffs. I won you a road playoff game.
Right. We gave you a 4-year deal, which
now,
is an out after
and now
two.
What? Because I got hurt.
Okay. Was he good before he got hurt?
No.
Okay. Then he gets hurt and misses the remainder of the season. So is it his first injury? Would you say he's an
no?
Okay. So you have an injury-prone quarterback who's average, right? Maybe a little above average. Maybe in the 14-15 range. But the thing, on the flip side, you can win games with him. Like, he's not a bad quarterback. He's just not a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. He's not bad.
No, I don't think he's bad either, but it's not. I mean, this is, I think the conversation was more, you know, if you're Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, you have the 6th overall pick, thought maybe there was a chance to get up to 3 where you could get your franchise quarterback.
Right.
Do you want to tether yourself to Daniel Jones? Do you want your job security to be dictated by Daniel Jones? And my answer to that question, if I was Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, would be no. I would want my own guy. I don't want to have my dream job taken from me and never have the opportunity to do it with my guy.
I 100% agree with you, but I don't want to force it. So if Drake May is my dream quarterback and I do everything within my power to get him and I can't get him, I'm not going to move on just to move on. I'm not going to take J.J. McCarthy or any of these other guys.
But also remember, every person that I've talked to and everyone that I listen to always says when you're talking about drafting a quarterback this high in the draft, regardless of how involved your owner is, this is a decision that has to be run by ownership. So I almost feel like they got into a spot where it was, we love Drake May, sold it to ownership, and said, and ownership gave him the blessing. If you can get up to 3 and get Drake May, you go do it. If you have that much conviction, go do it. But if you just like J.J. McCarthy, we just paid Daniel Jones. We drafted him 6th overall.
Clearly they didn't love J.J. McCarthy.
Ownership likes Daniel Jones. And they've also said to you, we have not given Daniel Jones a fair shake here. And what is the one thing that they always point to outside of offensive line? He does not have a legitimate number one weapon.
Okay, so now he's got a legitimate number one receiver.
Yep.
Now he's got a legitimate offensive line. So there's no more excuses. This is it. It's sink or swim this year. You go out there, and again, do I think there's a chance that he's the long-term quarterback? I do. Do I expect it? No, I don't expect it. But if he goes out there and throws for 4,300 yards and 29 touchdowns and the Giants go to the postseason, yeah, he's going to be back and he's going to be the future quarterback. And if he goes out there and if he gets hurt again or he sucks and the Giants have another 6-11 or 7-10 season, then he'll be out on his ear. So, you know what? All the pressure's on him, but at least it's on him. There is no one's going to be clamoring for Drew Lock.
No.
I mean, go out there and take care of your business. And if you can't, then you're not meant to be the Giants quarterback in the future.
Right, but I also think you kind of, if you're Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, kill two birds with one stone here. Like, if this entire time, I mean, you said it. Part of the reason why Brian Daboll was hired was because they were trying to fix Daniel Jones, and he did for a season.
He did. He was the best version of himself
under
Brian Daboll.
You saw how ownership reacted to when Saquon left. Like, Joe Shane had to explain to ownership why we were letting Saquon Barkley leave. And they said, okay. And he was still unhappy that he signed with the Eagles. Ownership likes Daniel Jones a lot and wants to see this work out. So now, here's their opportunity. I mean, you told me, you know, this is why it hasn't. So now he's got what he needs. Right, we couldn't get Drake May. He's got what he needs.
I guess he's got what he needs.
Well, no, but now he can prove it. Like now, no one can make any more excuses for him. If he plays well, great. He's got 2 more years.
This is it.
If he doesn't, now you know
The problem is if he doesn't and he's not good.
How are you getting the quarterback?
I think Dak Prescott could be available. I think Kirk Cousins could be available.
I know, but what does that really do for you? I mean, you're still talking about paying guys $50 million. Does it line up? So for the same reason why you wouldn't, I mean, why paying Daniel Jones all this money makes no sense.
Well, I don't know that in the draft next year, God knows what pick you're going to have, and God knows who's going to even be considered that level of quarterback.
Well, we don't know, and
we won't
know yet.
No, it's going to take
quite
some
time. Did you expect Michael Penix to go 8th?
No. I mean, most people didn't know Michael Penix was the quarterback at Washington.
Or Jaden Daniels to have the season he had?
No. If it was a year ago from right now, and I said Jaden Daniels, you'd say, A, who is that? And you'd say, there's no way he's going to be an NFL caliber quarterback. Certainly not going to go 2nd.
So, I mean, this is, you never know.
You're right. You never know. But he's got his opportunity. I mean, that's all you can ask for. He's got his chance. The Giants receivers are clearly better than they've ever been for him, and the offensive line the same. Right? The offensive line should be good.
Offensive line should be good.
Okay.
Well, it's going to be better.
Well, I mean, I think if it, and everything is with a caveat is health, but I mean, if the offensive line is healthy, it should be good. I mean, Evan Neal should be better. Should be. And if he's not,
but if he's not, you're bumping him to guard anyway.
All right. So you put him at guard. You got the Runyon, right, that you brought in. You still have Andrew Thomas. You have the kid from the Raiders, Illuminor. I mean, you have
John
done.
Michael Schmitz.
Yeah, you have done the appropriate work to make this offensive line better. And you've certainly invested a lot of money in
right,
draft equity in it.
And the beauty of what they did is they did all the things leading up to the draft to give themselves a chance to get the three, to get the quarterback, and also try to tempt another team to jump up in front of them so they could have what they wanted. And I don't believe it was Joe Alt. I believe it was.
It can't be.
Well, you're not trading up to three to get Joe Alt.
No one trades three ones for an offensive lineman.
You have your left tackle signed already to a long-term deal, and you drafted your right tackle with the seventh overall pick, and you're not trading all that to make Joe Alt your right tackle.
Yeah, but why would you spin it for Joe Alt? Why couldn't you just spin it and say Malik Nabers is the guy we wanted? Like, we got the guy we wanted. Why do you have to spin it for Joe Alt?
I guess because there was some thought that, I mean, Joe Alt was going to go to the Chargers at five. And they wanted to make sure they got up ahead of the Chargers, I guess.
I don't know. It feels, I've heard for months that they love Nabers. I mean, people think Malik Nabers is sensational.
Right. I agree with you. I don't know why this is. But, and I'm not saying this about Shefty, but just in general, like, part of the give and take of me getting scoops is also having the ability to get out the information that I want.
Sure. So if you're Schefter and you're given this information, do you have to put it out? Or can you say, like, I don't know that makes all that much sense. Let me hold
this
one.
Well, how could you dispute it, though?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
If that's what they were telling you. Like, it's like, hey, you know, this is who we really wanted. But they wouldn't trade because they wanted
to. But I'm wondering how much untrue information gets leaked.
Here's the other part, though. You also had the other story that came out. That one of the reasons why the Patriots felt so good about Drake May was because Brian Daboll and Kevin O'Connell both loved him.
Right.
And those two are they're so highly respected.
Yeah, but that's a terrible reason.
No, but it reaffirms what you thought. We like this guy a lot. And on top of that, we got these, you know, two guys we highly respect bending over backwards. And remember, Brian Daboll was in that building, too.
Sure.
So they got a ton of respect for Brian Daboll. I mean, you know where Kevin O'Connell comes from. So now it's like, wow, these guys want to trade this. What, all this to get this quarterback? He's got to be. We already think he's good, but
that becomes dangerous.
No, I know, but it would make you feel good about it.
Well, yeah,
especially someone like me, I'd be asking everybody.
Oh, you'd be terrible with that.
What do you think about Drake May? You like him?
You like him? You think he's good?
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Lucky Lou tweets in, Dave's going to be on his 7th year. The future is now, and it's not good with him at quarterback. I don't think it's awful. I think it's pedestrian. I think it's mediocre. I think you can win games with him and a good team, and he's not going to carry you to a lot of wins on his own. And then we get Another one, they're making it look like they wanted a lineman because they were trying to help Daniel Jones. But what I understand is, why do you need to make it look like it was a lineman? Malik Nabers helps Daniel Jones.
Yeah, but you're not trading all of those assets to get a lineman when you already signed Andrew Thomas. And you're not trading that for a right tackle.
It makes zero sense. If you were to do that, you'd be a moronic organization. A moronic organization.
No, this was smoothing over.
Mortgage the future to take an offensive lineman?
No, this is smoothing over the fact that he didn't get a quarterback.
But why?
And Daniel Jones is your guy now.
But why? Why do you have to... I mean, you think he's an idiot?
No, not him, but just the team, too. I mean, Malik Nabers didn't have, like, real nice things to say about Daniel Jones or the opportunity to play with Daniel Jones. I think it's for the team, too. Like, hey, no, this is our guy. We believe in him. So you should believe in him.
Well, if he
we were trying to get Drake May, we were trying to get Joel.
All that it's going to take is if he goes out there and he plays terrific football, you'll believe in him. And if he goes out there and he is what he's been, which is middle of the road, you'll move on from him. This is it. This is the last salvo out to try to be the Giants quarterback of the future.
There's a reason why the deal was structured the way it was structured. There's a reason why these reports came out.
Because they knew there was a chance that this thing was not going to work out. So if it doesn't work out, we buy 2 years. You had to pay him. You couldn't not pay him.
No, you had to pay him. He won your road playoff game. Of course, you're going to pay him. Ownership's not going to let you move off him then.
Right. So you had to pay him. You paid him. It has not worked out yet. And we'll see. And remember, the guy's also coming off of a torn ACL, which is a legitimate injury.
But that's part of it. I mean, that's, again, going back to there's only 32 of these jobs. And I mean, you get paid a boatload of money to do what you love, and you're at the mercy of the players. As good a head coach as you are, I mean, it comes down to the players on the field. And if the most important position in all of sports isn't very good or isn't available, it's going to cost you your job. So are you going to make that decision?
Giants go 5-12 this year. Chance that Shane and Dable are out?
No, because I think they probably had a conversation with ownership. I think they probably had a conversation with ownership that made them feel comfortable passing up on a quarterback.
Okay. So do you believe that they would have taken J.J. McCarthy had ownership said, do whatever you have to do, but if this year is not good, you're out?
It would have given them, I think, more time. Because there's no way you're going to do the same thing.
Do you realize what happens if the Giants do move on from Daniel Jones? If they're not good again and they have to move on from him? And bring in a new quarterback? Are you going to start from square one after another wasted season?
This is the problem, though. This is what happens when you miss on a quarterback that high in the draft.
Well, you put a guy in place who was an incompetent general manager, and he failed at his job, and now you're dealing with the repercussions of it all.
It would make more sense to have a young quarterback now with where this team is at.
Of course it would.
Right. I mean, you're rebuilding. Talent-wise, you're not close to Dallas. Talent-wise, you're not close to Philly.
Yeah, but we've said that for years.
The problem is that they have... Now, maybe things... Listen, maybe, I mean, a lot of the smoke you saw in Philly last year surrounding Jalen Hurts in that locker room and their coach, maybe, I mean, there's something to that, and it doesn't work out.
But look what they've done. They have a tight end. They have two real receivers. They just brought in an elite running back.
They had a really good draft.
I mean...
Cleaned up their secondary.
Right?
Yeah, but they're much closer to...
I agree.
...than the Giants.
But they're doing things to be much closer than the Giants, too.
Now, Washington has their quarterback. I'm saying to you, why would I pay my quarterback all that money if I have no real chance to win the division? It makes no sense. How does that make sense? It's wasting money.
Yeah, because you had to.
And it's not like, I mean, when you saw him play last year that he was taking advantage of all these, making the weapons that you brought in for him better. You watch games. Where's Jalen Hyatt? Is he playing?
Darren Waller was nothing. I mean, we watched the games last year, and Tyrod Taylor looked like a better quarterback than Daniel Jones.
Right. When you're paying a quarterback that much money, he's supposed to be making the players around him better.
I think we know that he's not that quarterback. Now, on the flip side of that, I think we know that he's not going to be that quarterback, but do I think he can be a competent quarterback? I've seen him be a competent quarterback. So this idea that people throw out there that he's just bad, I don't think that's fair. I don't think he's bad. I don't think he's great. I think he's right in the middle.
Right, but you don't want to pay a quarterback that you just think is competent.
I totally agree with that. Right. But you kind of got backed into a corner.
I'm not saying you shouldn't. What are you going to do? No, I don't think they could.
Right.
I think the compromise was this is how the deal's going to be.
You went 9-7-1. He played and argue it all you want, he played a great game in Minnesota. Was it a good landing spot? Great landing spot. He played a great game, and you lost to Philadelphia, who is excellent. So he did everything you could have possibly wanted. You rewarded him for it, and now you're kind of paying the piper a little bit.
Yeah, but I think the compromise was this is how we want Daniel Jones back, but we want him back with a contract that allows us the ability to get out if this doesn't work out.
And you know what, by the way? And this gets me legitimately angry. For all the people, and Don is one of these people that said, you know, winning games is good for it's good for culture. And, I mean, now they beat New England 10-7 because it was a little rainy and they missed a field goal. That's going to buoy. It buoys nothing, okay? If you would have had the third pick, you would have gotten the quarterback you wanted and you could move in a different direction. But they beat Green Bay and they beat New England and they're winning game and they beat Philadelphia. And there's some people, Don included, and he said, you don't do that. You win the games. You want to win the games. I don't blame the players. I don't blame the coaches. But to root for them to win meaningless football games, it's just silly. It's ridiculous.
Well, unless the guy that's winning the games is going to be is going to be your quarterback moving forward.
Well, that's if you're winning games when Eli Manning was a rookie, that's different. If you're winning games when Daniel Jones is a rookie, that's different. To win games when Daniel Jones is out, well, how does that do anything? Does nothing for you.
No, it does nothing for you, especially if you're not. No, okay. I'll make an argument for Don here. Okay, is if. You're fully sold. Like if you're the Cincinnati Bengals, okay, and you know you have your quarterback. Joe Burrow is your guy, no question about it. And again, you're not going to go throw games. Guys are going to go out, they're going to win games.
Yeah, but
no big deal.
I don't need to worry about getting that quarterback if I'm Cincinnati.
Right. But so
if I win five games or three games, you know, it makes no difference because I'm still going to get a good player there.
Right. So if you're the Giants, though, there's real questions about your quarterback. You don't know if he's the guy or not. And you know going into this draft, there's three really good quarterbacks.
Did winning against New England and winning against Green Bay prohibit the Giants from getting a quarterback?
Yeah.
Okay. So then those were not good wins.
No, they're not good wins.
They're not good wins.
Because now what are we doing?
You're stuck in no man's land. Dave Manhattan. Good morning, Dave. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. It seems like they're giving, you know, Shane and Gable getting a little bit more rope to hang themselves, you know, this season. So if the team plays well enough. Just have a question. Let's just say hypothetically you're halfway through the season. Things aren't going well with Daniel Jones. Two hypotheticals. Do you yank him? Or if by any reason you start the season with Locke and you go 5-2, do you not bring in Daniel Jones and look past that hole? But
they're not starting.
Well, I can't imagine that they're going to start Drew Locke. That
no.
seems preposterous. And secondly, if you play the first half of the season and Daniel Jones stinks, I'll do it. I mean, you can't keep playing him because the last thing you want to be is now tied to that contract.
Yeah, you don't want the injury.
You got to get him out of there.
Yeah,
and then you play. I don't care who you play. Then you want to lose games.
Oh, you play Drew Locke probably at that point.
Right, but Drew Locke maybe better than Daniel Jones if Jones is in fact that bad.
Yeah, but it's important to win those games.
Come on, stop. It's not important. Those games are a waste is what they are.
Yeah, they're going to be a waste.
I mean, who are the quarterbacks right now that we know of? Shedeur Sanders.
And the kid from Georgia.
Beck.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two.
Carson Beck, yeah.
But they're not the same level that these kids were of this
oh,
draft
you don't,
class.
You don't know yet.
I got to spend another offseason doing this now?
Unless Daniel Jones plays great. Now he has the offensive line.
What are the expectations that Daniel Jones is going to be this year for you? There's no way you expect him to be great.
No, like throw low 20s, touchdown-wise.
I think it's possible. By the way, do we have an answer on Darren Waller?
No. They did draft a tight end, so they're probably leaning that he might.
If you can't decide by May 1st whether you want to play or not, aren't you pretty much saying, I don't want to play?
I can't get into his head. I mean, he's going through a lot. I mean, he's getting divorced and everything else, so I don't really know what he's thinking. I've seen a video of him working out, so I guess he's keeping himself in shape.
As a fan of the team, it's hard to think that you want to play if by May 1 you can't decide if you
want
to play.
Well, or do you want him back? I mean, what version are you going to get?
Well, the money's already spent too, right?
Right, money's already spent, but he's also a guy that, I mean, it's hurt a lot. So, I mean, what...
Well, I'd like him back. I'm in a perfect world.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying is, if you got a guy that's always hurt or dealing with something, I mean, how much is he playing through if he's already kind of mentally checked out?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is what version of him are you going to get if he's uncertain if he even wants to play football?
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
It's not bamboo. It's the eucalyptus.
Eucalyptus is the one that can catch on fire?
Highly, highly combustible.
Really?
It's called the gasoline tree.
Yeah. That's dangerous.
It's dangerous, it is. Yeah. It's the oils.
The oils are highly flammable?
Highly flammable.
Well, then
I was told that one was in California, yeah.
Steer clear of that.
You don't want to go near that. No. You're not making clothing out of that.
Well, that would be silly. To make clothing out of a highly flammable material.
Bamboo is very comfortable, though.
Is that right?
Oh.
So they make clothing out of bamboo?
I told you that one shirt I let you feel.
It was buttery soft. Oh. That's nice.
It's gorgeous.
I don't have any bamboo clothing.
No, maybe we'll get you some. Maybe the Giants will send you some bamboo clothing.
Yeah, you know, I'm sick of you mocking me. During the commercials, you know, they're going to be a 5-win team. Then we come back. Maybe
I did not say that.
Yeah.
No, you looked at a mock draft. I didn't say that.
You said, if they have them 6 again, it's going to be a 5-win team.
No, that's what he said.
Yeah. RJ, why would you say something like that?
I did not say anything of that sort. I came in and filled you in on who the quarterbacks for next year to keep an eye on might be. That's all.
Somebody said something about a 5-win team.
He did.
No, because you read you read a mock draft that had them picking 6. And I said, wow. What would that put them on pace for? That whoever that is does not have much faith in them. What are they going to win? 5-6 games again?
He did say it.
So who was your mock draft? That's where it came from. If they're picking 6 again next year, I know you guys.
Yeah,
said,
no, it'll be bad.
I know you said a few minutes ago that they're not in danger because they had a conversation with ownership, but I don't know, man.
This is unfair, I think, to me. Ryan Byrne emails in, Dave, you bend over backwards to defend Jones. I've crushed Daniel Jones. Mm. I wanted a quarterback in this draft. He goes on to say, he stinks. He's not middle of the road. Tell us again his best season stats, 9-7-1. He's already on his second contract. We know what he is, and it's not even a game manager. Enjoy another crappy season. They may have a crappy season, but I stand by. I think Jones can be a middle of the road quarterback.
I got to tell you, though, I mean, this city, life comes at you fast.
Oh, you're not kidding.
Comes at you fast, because you correct me if I'm wrong, though. Phone calls we were taking after winning that playoff game was Daniel Jones has, and we went through every, we had people calling and going through the NFC quarterbacks.
Where does he rank, right?
No, where will he go? Where will he end up? Oh, right. He's going to have some weapons. Where could he be? Third best quarterback in the NFC?
In fairness to him, though, he still has not gotten those weapons as of yet.
Well, he has them now.
Now he does.
Well, his problem is he can't stay, he's not been able to stay healthy.
Well, and he's not worth, like, the juice is not worth the squeeze, right? It's like he's never healthy enough to even find out if he's good enough.
It's why those last 9 games before he blew out the ACL were going to be so important.
They were. And if he was all, but what could you have done anyway?
Like, well, now
you still couldn't even have gotten a quarterback.
It turns out now,
so what's the difference, really? Dave and Hawthorne. Dave, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Got a Giants point, but we'll just want to say thank you. I have a 2-hour commute. I'm moving finally. I'm going to have a 30-minute commute. So it means I might get to listen to you guys a little less. But I've had some pretty crazy 2-2.5-hour commutes the last 3 years. And you guys have been every day, basically.
Keep you company. But 2.5-hour commutes, Dave, that's horrendous.
Yeah, I got a dream job, so I can't complain about that. But, trying to find a house was a problem for a while, but I got there. So, quick point on the Giants. I still feel that, going back to the Gettleman era where, oh, we're going to get hog mollies and all that kind of stuff, it still feels like the Giants haven't properly addressed the offensive line. I know they went out and got Runyon. He's fine. They got Illuminor. He was, the 38th ranked tackle on PFF last year. The center, okay, yeah, there might be something there. I don't know if I trust Neal very much. It still feels like, if the Giants are looking at trying to be a team that has an elite offensive line, they're nowhere closer to that, really, than they were a couple of years ago. Sure, are they, bottom 2 or 3 in the league anymore? No, but they didn't take an alignment at all on this draft, and it just feels like for a team that has had such bad offensive line play, it almost is like they're happy just getting to a point where maybe it's not horrendous. And I don't know what you guys think about that, but I feel that they've kind of missed on trying to make the offensive line a real strength.
Yeah, but they've tried, though. You said they've missed. They've tried. Evan Neal was a 7th overall pick. Like, they've tried to make the offensive line better. We've gone through this 1,000 different times.
And you say that
with the amount of money.
Runyon they paid money for. Illuminor. And again, I think this will make a big difference. At least I'm hopeful. They brought in an offensive line coach who's supposed to be really good. Yeah, Brasillo, I think, is his name from the Raiders. Because the guy prior was not very good.
No, I mean, they've tried, and it hasn't worked. And I understand there were a lot of people that were upset that they didn't draft an offensive lineman in this year's draft. Maybe they're of the mindset that they would rather go with veteran guys as opposed to start, you know, continually drafting offensive linemen that haven't worked out. And if Evan Neal doesn't make it work in year three at tackle, then you're gonna have to move him inside.
Which would be a real shame.
Unless he turns into a really good guard.
Right. And an indictment on this regime. This is their baby. They took Neal 7. So if he doesn't pan out, then that's on them. That's not on anybody else. Let's go to Jimmy and Dix Hills. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Dave. I love the show. Let me tell you why every win is important in the NFL. And even those wins that we got last year were good wins.
Never convince me that those were good wins. But continue.
You are a little stubborn, so I know I'll never convince you anyway. But if the GMs, and we know this is true, 78% of the quarterbacks fail that the GMs choose, right? So right away we know that you said that we can't even judge these quarterbacks until we see 3, 4, 5 years down the road. They weren't getting the first pick. They were not getting the first pick. So the second and third pick are probably going to suck anyway. They're going to stink. So NFL wins are so hard to come by, and you can see that it's such a crapshoot. You look at a guy like Lamar Jackson, who's picked at the end of the first round.
Jimmy,
it doesn't matter when.
Jimmy,
did 78%.
First of all, that's a made up number. There's no way what you're talking about, 78% of first round quarterbacks fail. There's no way that that's accurate.
Yes.
I cannot believe that that's accurate.
What happened last year?
But you're isolating the year. We already went through this. We went through the hit rate. Which first round positions? No, it's not. It's 50-50 almost. It's better than wide receiver.
Look at last year.
I'm telling you the last 20. I'm giving you the last 20 years.
I'm looking it up. The internet doesn't lie. Okay.
You're picking 1 year.
Okay, Jimmy. Did they like Drake May?
Yeah.
Okay. So whether you think he's going to be a bust or not, is that the guy that they wanted to take?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
But here's the thing.
I'm going to let you talk, Jimmy. Hang on a second. Were they able to take him because they won those meaningless games this past season?
No.
All right. Well, there you go. Now, what did you want to say?
Okay. But if it's such a crapshoot, though, I just think that NFL wins are so hard to come by. And if you win games, you're headed in the right direction regardless. Oh. And we know that the draft is such a crapshoot, but you need to get wins, Dave.
Why?
This is year in and year out.
Why?
You don't take them with you. They don't
add up. It changes the culture. You have to have wins.
So the Jets beating the Giants last year, did that change their culture?
Yes,
it did.
Yes, it does.
It buoyed them to what? Where did they go? The quarterback that won that game still sucks. The quarterback that won that game still sucks.
What does that mean, though?
They couldn't keep him on the roster.
What does
that mean? They traded him for nothing.
What does it mean? It's hard to win games.
Let's look at Baltimore.
No. We're not looking at Baltimore. Baltimore has Lamar Jackson.
Let's look at Baltimore.
I'm done. I can't. I can't do this. I shouldn't be subjected to that. RJ, why'd you put that guy on the air?
I'm sorry.
He stunk.
I'm sorry. It went a direction I didn't expect.
These are very important wins.
It got progressively.
They're good for the culture.
It got progressively better or worse, I guess, depending on your point.
You know what's
of view.
Bad for the culture?
I want to curse.
You know what's bad for the culture? No, seriously. You know what's bad for the culture? Not having a quarterback. That's bad for the culture.
That's awful for the culture.
Right. Because now the team doesn't feel like they have any real chance. Because the most important.
You're in
position,
no man's land now.
Okay. No. It fixed the culture.
It's unbelievable. Let's go to Ron at Tom's River. Good morning, Ron.
All right, everybody. Everyone needs to take a deep breath right now. I think we're all towards the push the edge of Giants fans, all right? The offensive line conversation you guys just had broke me. It's not about coaching, Dave. It's
about
players.
Of course it's about coaching.
No, it's not.
Of course it is.
It's about players getting drafted.
Well, then why would you fire the coach?
Obviously, there's coaches that are better than others, but it comes down to players being better than other players. If you look at the Dallas offensive line, right, the coaching isn't that good. They're just draft great players, great offensive linemen. How come the Giants can't draft great offensive linemen? It comes down to the players. The coaching does supplement, but it comes down to the players.
It's all of it. I mean, you need good players and you need good coaching to develop those good players.
How many times have you seen players, we'll use the Jets for example, that have been, like, we'll use offensive line, that aren't very good at all in the Jets, and they go to a team that's well-run, well-coached, and they all of a sudden become good, serviceable players.
Yeah, it happens.
Don't tell me coaching is not important. Of course coaching, especially
it's vitally important. Talk about the best offensive line coaches. They get a lot. Now, are you gonna win with any schlub off the street if you're a good coach? Of course not. You need a combination.
A great coach is not going to take someone that just can't play and make them into a great player. But if you draft someone that has all the requisite talent and he's well-coached, I mean, you're going to get the best out of that player.
Let's go to Ira in Staten Island, see what he's having to say. Good morning, Ira.
Hey, what's happening, Dave? How are you? And listen, you know, I'm going to stick with it until I'm wrong. I told you when they drafted Jones that this kid has potential to be a really good quarterback, and I still think he can. But, you know, I just want to get to the point, and you're 100% right. Fans, you want, when you're in the makings of getting a high draft pick, you can't root against your team, but you don't care if they lose because it's better that they're going to get the higher pick. But you have your partner sitting on the other side of the desk. He was a player. Players can't go out and lose games intentionally.
But Ira, never once did I blame the players for winning those games.
Oh, okay. I didn't know
that.
No, okay.
Never once. I'm not going to blame Tyrod Taylor or whoever that they go out and win games. Those guys are fighting for jobs and they want to win. No, of course not. But as a fan, I don't think those wins do anything for the organization.
You're 100% right. I couldn't agree with you more. And even with the carryover, you look at Gase's after his first year, he won, 6 out of 7, 4 out of 7, whatever it was. It didn't carry over to the next year. It never carried over. It's because 30% of your roster isn't even back. So, you know, winning meaningless games for fans, it's a waste. But for players, of course, you know, that's their job. They're going to go out there and they're going to win. And they're fighting for jobs because chances are 30% of the roster is going to get turned over anyway.
No, I think you're 100% right. I mean, you if you're a player, you want to win. If you're a coach, you want to win. If you're a fan base, there are times where you're happy with your team losing these games.
Right. The fans' objective it is sometimes different than players' or coaches' objectives, right? Like, I mean, part of you know what players are thinking in those moments too are more games we win, but more likely I am that I'm playing well, so I'm going to get paid more. But in this team that I'm on right now won't have nearly as many changes as if we lose. You start losing enough games, you get the speech from the coach like, "Hey guys, take a peek around. All these guys you love, you know, your brothers,
right? They won't be here next year.
Most of you can be gone because we stink."
That's right. Let's go to Justin in Queens. RJ tells me it's going to be a good call. Good morning, Justin.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. Listen, first of all, I love you guys.
Thanks.
Excellent program. Now, you got to hear me out. I'm a Jet fan, so I understand picking high and all of that, right? I also understand losing, right? Now, take it now. Just last year, for example, say we were, as a Jet fan, looking for a high draft pick. We haven't beaten the Patriots in how many years? If I got a chance, even though we stink, to stick it to Bill Belichick and beat him and send him packing, I'm going to try to win that game. Secondly,
We're going to talk. Okay. You think that winning that game is what sent Bill Belichick packing and off into the night?
No. But also, he's beaten me for the past 20 years. If I got a chance to beat him, I don't care. It's Joe Douglas's job to find me a quarterback. Look at Deshaun Watson. Look at Lamar Jackson. Look at where Mahomes was picked. It's your job to find me that guy. You don't have to get him with the first or second pick. That's your job to find the gem. My job is to try to win the game. And as a fan, right, look at the Giants. Look at the Giants, Dave. You beat Philly, cost them a home playoff game, and you didn't like seeing Sirianni's face walking off that field in Tampa Bay?
Like if it costs,
no, but if it ends up costing you
the quarterback you want or the player that you want.
So let me ask you.
Let me ask you a question. No. Don't say wait. Let me talk. Then you can talk. No one's hanging up on you.
Go ahead.
Okay, so you're a Jets fan, right? You're a Jets fan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you were paying attention to the NFL draft? I take it.
Of course.
Okay, so it was reported by pretty much everybody. We'll have Joe Douglas on at 9:30 that the Jets were desperate, try to trade up to 5 to get Roma Dunze, one of the wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't beat the Patriots. We're going to have Roma Dunze. So not having the player that they want as opposed to the win against Bill Belichick makes you feel better?
Let me ask you a question, Rick. Did Joe Douglas have the ammunition to trade up and get Roma anyway? No. He could have done that anyway.
No, he tried. They
what
said
do you
no.
Mean, no. Of course he could have. He couldn't have traded up to 8.
But why would you want to So beating New England means so much to you that you would prefer to not get the player you want, but now you have the win over the Patriots.
No. What I'm saying to you is this.
No, that's exactly what you're saying.
I'm saying
the feeling you had in that moment that you got to exercise this demon and watch Bill Belichick walk off the field in a loss that he'll never think about or care about was good enough for you to miss out on the receiver that everyone in the organization wanted.
Okay. All right. Let's play this game. We got Zach Wilson, whatever year that was, right? I forgot the team that we beat, and I was like, oh, man, you got whoever it was. Oh, you beat them.
Not the Raiders. The Rams, maybe.
Right, the Rams, exactly right. Oh, you beat the Rams. Now we don't get Trevor Lawrence. What is really Trevor Lawrence right now? Man. Is he better than Zach Wilson?
Yes.
Hold on a second.
Yes. A thousand times better than Zach Wilson.
Tell me he's not. Tell me, you know, just utter the words, he's not better than Zach Wilson.
Can I finish this? First of all, you're better than Zach Wilson. My point is, what has Trevor Lawrence done so far? The last caller that said that is a crapshoot, it is a crapshoot. My point is, I'm not saying you win and at all costs. What I'm saying to you is, in certain situations, they're not created equal. If you got a chance to stick it to the Eagles, you're going to try to do that, period. And then, again, it's your job to find that guy.
That's not so easy to find that guy.
It's not easy to find that guy, period.
It's easier to find that guy if you have a better draft pick, Justin.
Okay, so what's the difference between 1 and 2? Lawrence or Zach Wilson? What's the difference? I mean, there's a huge difference.
There's a giant difference.
There's no difference.
One quarterback is still with this team. They picked up his fifth-year option, and the other one was just traded away because he's the worst quarterback in the NFL.
In fact, I wonder if Denver picks up the phone and says to Jacksonville, you know what, we'll give you Zach Wilson for Trevor Lawrence. And then Jacksonville says, yeah, we'd love to make that trade because they're the same quarterback.
Right, because you know that because this season, that win against the Patriots is going to be all the difference. That's going to be when we're at the end of the season and we're trying to figure out who's going to win the AFC East. We'll cash in that win. That win that we banked against the Patriots, we'll cash that in.
Right.
As opposed to all the production you could have got from Robert Dunze.
It's a wonderful win. Enjoy the win. Put your head on the pillow at night and just dream of that win. It's a great win.
I can promise you, coming from somebody that played in the NHL for a lot of years, the wins in the previous season meant nothing to the wins or losses in the following season. Nothing.
So
zero.
If you played the Capitals in game 82 and beat them with a shutout, that somehow didn't carry over to the next season?
Nope.
Really?
Did not.
That's unbelievable.
Did not carry over.
Really?
Yeah, it didn't.
Even if 60% of the roster was back in totality. No, nope. It still didn't carry over from the prior season. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
RJ... Oh, he's screening.
You got the hand wave from Raymond.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why did you make me take that guy?
Look what happened.
Nothing good happened. That's not good.
You let it go on a while.
It's my fault?
No, it's not your fault.
It's your fault, RJ.
Here's the thing. When you guys disagree, it's easy. Let you disagree. When you are of like mind, I must present you options that are on the other side. I just gave you a menu item for you to dine with.
Yeah, but it's a silly option.
You gave me rotten food.
Right. You gave us...
So here's what you do. You throw the rotten food.
The coleslaw is spoiled, RJ. The mayonnaise has turned.
You throw the rotten food. It's entertaining.
The milk's gone bad.
Yeah. The milk is curdled, RJ.
Yeah.
Curdled.
I mean, listen, it's tough because I'm on your side as well. I actually said to Ray, I don't know, half hour ago, that fun Tommy DeVito 3-week run, and he still gets, him and his agent, they're still showing at the Garden, New York events.
It's weird.
It cost you. We wouldn't even be talking about what the Giants could have done with a higher pick because they would have had that higher pick.
Milk was a bad choice.
Yeah, so I'm on your side.
Yeah, right. It's good for Tommy DeVito and his family and his agent. It's not great for the Giants. And it wasn't like Tommy DeVito was ever going to be the answer to Daniel Jones when Daniel Jones was gone.
Of course not. Although there are some people that thought that DeVito was the quarterback of the future.
Don't even get me started.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.